the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Okay, welcome to all that are here and all that are joining us through your favorite podcast service. This is the Presentation Podcast, and Nolan, Sandy, and myself are joined by an incredible group of presentation industry peoples. That's all of you. Thank you. And we're at the Microsoft MVP Summit. For logistics, we are recording around a table here. Tom Howell that has generously let us crash into his suite where we are gathered around. And it's going to be a little different than most of our typical episodes in that the sound quality is using handheld microphones, not our studio recording setups. And we don't actually have a full conversation agenda. We more or less have a conversation starter. So with that, Nolan, you want to say hi? Sandy, you want to say hi?
Hi.
Hold on. Wait, you know, I totally did not hear that. Do it again.
Hi.
No, let's actually turn it on. Okay, go.
All right, we'll get through this at some point. Hi.
Fantastic. Hi, Troy. Hi, Nolan.
Hi, Sandy.
Okay.
What have you been doing? How you been?
We're just hanging around the table now.
How was dinner? Where'd you go?
We went to, what was it called?
We went to, yeah, I know, but I can't remember. Japanisa. And it was wonderful. It was awesome sushi.
So here we go. You ready? Ready for this? This is topic number one. So let's start by acknowledging we are at the Microsoft MVP Summit, and it's an invite only.
Global.
It's the global summit. It is an invite only event, and there's a lot of NDA information, so we are all being careful about.
Tell you the editing on this is going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be. We're all being very, very careful about what we're saying.
How many MVPs are here?
Microsoft, yeah, PowerPoint or total?
Microsoft.
Anybody?
It's usually around
2,500.
Yeah. Thousands.
I thought it was closer to 1,600.
I got it smaller.
So okay. It's gotten smaller.
I think it's 16.
Out of 1,600 MVPs, there are 34 globally for PowerPoint.
That's right.
And we've got
33.
And we have a gathering of many of them. So let's rather than everybody going around the table with introductions, what I really would like is everybody to, as you have something to chime in with, and we're going to make sure everybody does, give your introduction right then. You know, hi, this is Troy. I'm from TLC Creative Services. And here's what I think about that topic. So here is our first topic conversation starter. Tell us about a PowerPoint project that you worked on where it was not using PowerPoint as a projected slideshow. So because we had this conversation earlier where we use PowerPoint as part of my demo I did today at the summit. You use PowerPoint for so many just non-traditional slideshow things. And I'm going to guess that everybody's done something that wasn't a traditional slideshow. Actually, you could qualify yours, Rick, as being non-traditional slideshows with Pekka Kucha, because I don't think I could count that as a traditional.
Oh, they're traditional.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, and you're on the shortest one. You got to hand off that. Okay, so anyways, let's go around the table. Somewhere you've used PowerPoint, but not as a traditional slideshow setup. Anybody?
Well, this is Sandy. You all know me. I just finished working on a newsletter for a Canadian financial services company.
How's it distributed, or what do they do with it?
PDF. It's a recruitment document, actually. They're sending it to potential recruits for their company.
Well, I just finished Tom's Synapsis Creative. I hired to do an explainer video, a two-minute explainer video for a client of mine, and it came out amazing. I was showing it to a few people today. So
I saw it. It was truly stunning.
Phenomenal.
We did. So, good job.
At which point, just to add to it, because Tom is in the room, he will eventually. But he doesn't get to use that as his example. But I then said, oh, here's one that we did. And everybody's like, oh, that looks really cool. I was like, yeah, we did this in After Effects.
And then Animator, we all walked away.
Nothing to do with PowerPoint at all. And yeah, Tom's was 100% PowerPoint, which was probably a lot more budget friendly. It was phenomenal. Anybody else? A non-traditional PowerPoint use project.
This is Tom from Synapsis Creative. We have just finished one of our biggest pieces of work we've ever done, which is a large, an entire campaign. So everything from concepting artwork to creating taglines to delivering large format print pieces, banners. We created artwork for collateral, like keep cups, water bottles, lolly boxes.
In PowerPoint.
All in PowerPoint. 100% awesome. PowerPoint.
Okay, can we get a translation on a lolly box?
A box with lollies in it.
Oh, really?
Meaning lollipops.
Suckers. No, sorry, sweets. Candies?
Oh,
candies.
Okay. Okay.
So a candy box.
Yeah, candy box. Yeah, sure.
But that, okay. But like, that's a thing?
It is now.
Okay.
part of the campaign.
Okay. This is Julie. Tom, I have a question. PowerPoint's all RGB. Did your printers do the CMYK conversion for you?
So we have worked out a lot of the CMYK conversions with Adobe. So when you save as a PDF, if you have Adobe installed on your computer, you can actually change the settings and convert to the right CMYK color profile, and you can work out what a true CMYK converts to from RGB.
But this isn't save as PDF, it's print to PDF.
That's correct. Yeah, and the Acrobat Distiller, you can actually change those settings, and you can take all the compression of the images.
That's a great question, Julie.
Yeah,
this is Julie with Terberg Design, yes. And I've had similar requests from clients, and have worked with the printer to do the CMYK conversion on behalf of the client. So good to know. Thank you for letting me know it's in the distiller.
I'm finding there's more and more printers that are willing to work with RGB files. As digital printing becomes like normal now, and the technology is becoming really strong.
We still do a lot of traditional offset printing, and actually our largest print broker that we utilize, they're not the broker, they're wholesale printer. They've pretty much moved to an all RGB workflow for all print work. Yeah.
There are even some printers, the hardware is actually prints in RGB.
This is large. Yeah. Actually, to that point, it may not be absolutely necessary with all printers.
Mm-hmm. I think what they do look for is the CMYK cut line. Mm-hmm. So you've got a die line, especially when you're working with custom artwork, you need a die line that needs to be cut. So that was the only reason we were pretty set on getting that.
Okay, PowerPoint presentation. No, PowerPoint use that was not for traditional slideshow. Boris is up.
Yeah, so Boris from 356 Labs and not 365 Labs. Long story.
Where from?
From Bulgaria.
Yeah, so we flew just a short distance to get here.
Yeah, 14 hours, nothing special. Normal. One of the use cases that was kind of different and becomes more and more usual, I believe, for this group, you have seen it, guys, very often, is creating and designing sales offers or business proposals in PowerPoint. So for some reason, it's a very long story. For some reason, our offer got the attention of very important people in our country / Bulgaria. And so we ended up being asked to create and then design the offer for one of the biggest banks in the country. So we used PowerPoint by just flipping the slide orientation to portrait, changing it to A4, rewriting the whole content because we need to rewrite the content, and then pushing that to the design team. So they ended up making three different color schemed offers based on the three different types of profiles those offers were sent. And all of them are later on exported as PDFs, but the salespeople can edit them because at the end of the day, it's PowerPoint.
Oh, so you're still giving them the editable version.
Yeah. They request. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we created them in such a way so that they're editable, so that they can customize them to the client that's being sent to. Mm-hmm. So that was the main idea. There are some fields that are left to be customizable, but afterwards they export it to PDF, and that's that.
So quick question on that, and I don't know if this will be a translation thing, but what do you call that? You obviously don't say, here's a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah. Oh, no, we completely, the bank itself defines it as a sales offer or a business proposal.
Oh, so they're just eliminating the program design. They're saying
they don't care.
Is.
Most of the problem with all of that type of projects is that most of the business, I don't know for the States or for Australia, but most of the sales offers that we end up seeing, and by the way, that we end up receiving, are Word documents, mm-hmm. which are with Calibri font and black text. Mm-hmm. And that is, how can I say it? Not cool. maybe. And now that you have, but the problem with Word is that every single time when you ask a person, hey, how do you feel when you have to insert a picture and then put text next to it in Word, everyone is like, don't even get me started on that one. I have to create a table. And I'm like, let me show you how this goes in PowerPoint.
Yes.
So it's pixel perfect. You can align everything. You can put everything everywhere.
But there's no Word, no, you know, Text flow, thank you.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
I mean, there are things in Word that we need in PowerPoint, I think, with the
But people very, very quickly get used to those offers, by the way. So once they see the change, they are very open to use PowerPoint for that stuff. Yeah, so.
I actually find it's interesting to write documents when you have to think page by page.
Yeah.
It's actually limiting in some good ways. Like, it forces you to chunk things out and not just like write and write and write and just keeps going on and on and on.
Yeah, that's true.
I want that read aloud feature. I want that read. This is Glenna Shaw. Yes. Sorry. I want that read aloud feature because I think that would be a powerful proofing tool. Sometimes you can read stuff, read stuff, read stuff, but when you hear it read aloud, you really.
Glenna's
Great idea.
And the dictate feature, by the way, kick. Like, it is insane. I don't know for you guys and what you think about it. I'll be curious to hear, but the dictate feature that was...
You mean the caption?
No, the dictate. That was in the home tab. Yeah. That stuff, that is insane stuff. Like, it is really cool.
Speaking of, I have a fantastic story about a non-traditional use of PowerPoint, and this was early on in my career, but I did a whole lot of accessibility tutorials, and I had a father write to me and say that he had used my tutorials on PowerPoint to teach himself how to set up a slideshow so he could give his daughter a voice. She had CP and she was in a wheelchair, could not talk, could not communicate with them at all. So he set up a kiosk slideshow that had pictures like a bathroom or a meal or thirsty or I love you, mommy, or I need to go to the bathroom, or can I go outside, read me a story. And as it would cycle through these slides, and if all she had to do was touch it, and it would say the phrase for her. So cool. It literally gave his daughter a voice.
That is
really cool.
Yeah. Way cool. Right.
Okay,
cool.
Cheering up next.
No, that's way cooler. Ryan,
that's
right.
Way cooler.
This is Julie. That's way cooler than what I'm going to tell you about.
Yeah.
Mine. Sure. I've used PowerPoint for posters, for explainer videos, for slideaments, but recently I did a sales presentation for a client. They're a training company, so we did this gorgeous sales story in their new branding, created a template, underlying template for the sales story, and then they asked me to redesign the course descriptions that they typically include, mm-hmm. because sometimes after the sales folks present the deck, they will PDF it and deliver it to the client, but they also want to include these detailed slideshows along with that deck. So we built custom layouts for the slide deck for the details on the classes in the template, so the sales folks can just add whatever ones they want to the end of the deck and PDF everything together. So it's a two-purpose.
Okay, Mike, what do you got?
Okay, Mike Parkinson, $1 billion graphics, not from Bulgaria. which is a super cool place. I'm sure it is. Come on, you're from there. Come on. We do piggybacking on what Boris said. We do a lot of work for government and commercial proposals. So what our clients really want is the ability to be able to tweak and modify the graphics we create for them for their written proposals. One of the side effects, one of the poop your pants things about what we do, and not literally, figuratively, is that that's true. It's a palindrome. It's a great word. So, is that so? When you save a graphic, it, palindrome, poop, P O O P. That's true. Madam, race car. So what's awesome is that if you create your graphics in PowerPoint the right way, when I mean don't use things like curved text, etc., you can copy and paste right into Microsoft Word, and the graphic content is searchable. So in the world of commercial and government contracting, they search for keywords to grade the proposals or evaluate the proposals very quickly and efficiently, especially when you're dealing with larger documents. So now you can find the keywords in the graphics.
Okay, Rick, go for it.
So Rick Brettsnyder, ex-Microsoft PowerPoint developer, designer, and now MVP. Going from the
Those
sublime,
are big credentials for anybody that's listening.
Someone going from the sublime to the ridiculous. My wife is an award-winning costumer, and I occasionally have the opportunity to help her out with some of her stuff. And
Which
she
means he's a model.
So she was doing a Batwoman costume.
Okay. We've seen pictures of that.
And so I actually we couldn't find any large pictures of the logo, and I built the logo the fabric pattern in PowerPoint for her.
No.
So yeah.
Okay, that may win for most unique PowerPoint then, to dress.
There you go.
I've also used PowerPoint. I regularly use PowerPoint to do, you know, the ribbons you get put on the bottom of a convention badges, say like speaker and stuff. I use PowerPoint to build those like twice a year, and because it's
send to a printer
to
you
send it off to
PDF?
The yeah. Send it off to the, because they use these old style lead transfers onto the ribbon stock and stuff. So, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Turn it on.
Nope, you're good.
No, I'm good. Ooh, and I got red. Woohoo. This is Echo Swinford. I'm a PowerPoint geek out of Indianapolis. And I moved recently to the other, from one side of Indianapolis to the other. And I used PowerPoint to lay out my floor plans. Just because it's easy.
That's awesome. Need to be a little plug-in with a little, you know, couch set.
I did that. When the PowerPoint team moved from Cupertino to SVC in Mountain View, I made an office template with all the standard furniture sizes as group shapes, and it got distributed to the whole group, so everyone used that to lay out their offices.
We used to actually have that in the auto shapes. There used to be like couches and chairs and plants and things
this
that you could.
Yeah.
I used PowerPoint to make a template of a headboard to see if we could get it up our staircase.
Yeah, and
the answer is no.
Come to think of it, this is Steve Rinsberg, PowerPoint Tools, and I mostly don't do anything in PowerPoint other than write code. But actually, I did the original design for the Presentation Summit Help Center in PowerPoint, of course, with little diagrams for all the tables and the computers and monitors back when we had those.
There were a whole bunch of CAD people just dying. Right now, listen.
Yeah. Right.
Or even just the Visio things. Yeah, like,
financially now.
Yes. Yeah. But every year my wife does a cartoon of our cats, and then I have to scan it and do horrible things to it to turn it into a Christmas card, which gets printed out of PowerPoint, of course, through the same people that printed our Presentation Summit banners for the Presentation Guild. But the weird one I did this year was to write an add-in that would convert literally thousands of PowerPoint files to PDF, just in, you know, a batch mode on a server in Chinese.
Oh.
Which was really weird.
Is this the project we were just talking about, you were describing?
Got partway through it and then found out, well, most of the test files worked, and then suddenly we got to the other ones that were, I don't know, Unicode or something, and it just all went pear-shaped and had a lot of work to do.
Okay, so
all worked out.
Piggybacking on Steve's I just write code, it is not just code. It's really, but I want to go with, it's just PowerPoint. I mean, that's what people tell me all the time. You work with just PowerPoint, right? Mm-hmm. So for looking around the table just to make sure. Like, yeah. So for everybody here, PowerPoint's kind of become a career or a career path or a lifestyle. Where I just because we have people from different parts of the world here, where's the furthest place PowerPoint has taken you? Now, for a couple of you, it may be right here because this is a really long flight. But like, as example, for me, it's just PowerPoint, but I'm usually in at least 4 countries a year that are not in North America. You know, so I was in Japan, Valencia, Spain, Toronto, that doesn't count into my own. I was in a number of countries just last year, and you know, it was all for PowerPoint. So where has just PowerPoint taken you? I'm very curious.
Japan?
To
do a wedding, wedding speech. Several times, actually, yes. In Japanese.
Wait, how did PowerPoint end up at the wedding?
Because I had to do a wedding speech at a reception. We have young ladies who've lived with us as homestay students, and we've been invited to their weddings. And of course, you don't turn down that invite, especially one of them says, I want you to walk me down the aisle with my dad. Aww. So, yeah, had to have a PowerPoint for that, did we not?
Okay, that's awesome.
Budapest, Hungary, for me, last year.
London, for me, Julie, physically. However, PowerPoint online through webinars and friends we've met through the MVP program, I feel has brought me worldwide connections.
That's a good point.
Through clients. I have clients in other countries.
I was gonna say, you have some pretty good, like, distant clients.
I have clients in other countries. But the friends that I've made through the PowerPoint MVP community have been, that's life-changing. So good to know all you guys.
Speaking of friends in the community, I have traveled to Pompeii, Italy, to visit John Wilson, fellow MVP, and his wife, Trish Pemberton. And then, of course, I haven't been in other countries with PowerPoint other than developing them in the U.S., so... translated to Greek, I mean. Bulgarian. Yes, exactly.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I hired a translation service to do that, but they've traveled around the world.
Good idea. The Bulgarian national. So, Boris, you've obviously traveled to the States. It's taken you from Bulgaria to here.
Yeah, I don't know whether or not that counts, sure. But because I don't know whether or not that counts, but because it involves PowerPoint, maybe, and because I don't kind of come up with anything else right now, I may want to say that back then I was, before coming to the PowerPoint world, like an MVP, I was a data platform MVP, which means databases and stuff. So I spent a lot of time in that world and IT, in the IT field more or less, where because of PowerPoint and because of the, obviously the skills in the IT field, but more or less, I think because of PowerPoint, I ended up speaking all across the world up until I was like 25. And that was because of PowerPoint and because of some IT kid was using PowerPoint better than the normal user, and because of that, that kind of helped me out speak like everywhere the doors opened, and that's why I'm pushing everyone, not only in the IT community right now, but everyone to just not only push their technical skills or any domain skills they have or expertise they have, but also push on their communication skills, because if you have them both, then it becomes interesting.
Yeah. Bravo. Okay.
I share this with Echo, actually. Ooh. That we went to the Bahamas because of PowerPoint.
We did. That's right.
We were part with the presentation summit. Had a special event for people to sign up and go on a cruise.
Oh, this is the cruise
to the Bahamas, cruise, yeah. And we had several kind of wacky impromptu sessions on board.
That's true.
Yeah.
Awesome. For me, it wasn't traveling, but. I had to get a security clearance to do some work that was in PowerPoint for the government. And because I had so many international friends, because of PowerPoint, they had to, the FBI guy had to do extra work to get security clearance.
I got the call for that.
I vouched for Glenna. Yes. Oh.
That was so...
Follow that, Tom.
Well, I mean, PowerPoint has taken us now to the States. It's taken me to the States at least twice a year for the last couple of years. But we are now opening an office in San Francisco within the next few months. So it will see me here a lot more. We're also really present in Germany. So we were lucky enough to send our art director and one of our account managers to Germany to meet clients and spend some time in Germany with them. So we travel a lot with PowerPoint. We were lucky enough to have half our team at the presentation summit,
which was awesome.
Which was great to get them out of the office and have a bit of R&R. But yeah, in terms of just PowerPoint, I think it's seen 22 international flights for our agency last year.
Wow, nice.
Wow, dude. Wow. Did we capture everybody?
I got one more. Yeah. So Utrecht for sure. What else? Melbourne.
Wait, what?
Utrecht? Utrecht near Amsterdam. Oh. Yes.
Oh, okay. So Amsterdam. Got it.
Yes. Thank you. Sorry. Many places in Canada, throughout the U.S. Yeah, yay. And it looks like I'm going to Johannesburg.
Nice.
Oh.
Oh, don't turn it down. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen, but anyway.
Troy, I went to Rochester, New York last year. Does that... No, it doesn't count.
Okay, all right, next question.
It is exotic.
It is another world.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so because we're at the MVP Summit, I think it would be great to kind of give a little bit towards it. Let's tell everyone listening why you enjoy being an MVP and maybe something you're personally or professionally get from it. So I'll just go ahead and kick it off. So I actually don't make a lot of MVPs are more in a corporate setting, which really is not this room.
Any of us.
Now that I'm looking around.
Glenna was the closest. But being corporate setting. No, you were the closest, yeah.
Yeah, I worked for a government agency,
exactly,
which was large.
You know, a lot of people, it's a resume item. It's a career move for them. And I think that actually bodes to why the PowerPoint group has such longevity, because it's a personal... I'll just say it's a passion. It's a very exciting thing for me. And I'm just, you know, I'm always honored that I get renewed. I'm like, really? You know, I would do this stuff anyways. So something you professionally get out of it is actually association with a lot of this group here for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's the relationships, I think. You know, meeting you guys, and I knew a lot of you before I became an MVP, and that was very cool to sort of then become an MVP and get to know everyone closer. And it's personal, but it's also professional too. I mean, we obviously, all of us are not only genuine friends with each other, but we're colleagues. I mean, literally, we hire each other and throw work around, and I think that's awesome. So I think it's a really unique group of people, and I think you're right, Troy, that it's, I think, among all the Microsoft sort of disciplines, I think this particular group is kind of special.
Yes. I have the unique position of having been the PowerPoint team coordinator of the MVPs, and just when I thought I was retiring and getting away for it all, 2 months later they called me up and said, would you like to be an MVP? And I remember telling you guys when you were in anger and darkness and saying nobody's listening, that you don't understand how much they do listen and how much you do influence the product. And to this day, it's only gotten more transparent of late, of course, because of the increased cadence of releases, so you can see the effects that much faster. But for me, it's just a pleasure to be able to continue that without all the pain of having to go to work every morning.
I just want to say my favorite moment from today was when one of the Microsoft PowerPoint team members said, well, I learned that from your book, Echo.
That was seriously cool, by the way.
That was pretty fun.
And we're giving recommendations based on the book. So you have to follow what Echo wrote in the book.
Hey, do you
and we are going to publish it.
And yeah, I was going to ask Microsoft if they don't think they owe them royalties on a workaround for a problem that they haven't fixed yet.
Hey, Julie helped me. It wasn't just me.
It's Julie and Echo's book.
This is Julie.
It's more than yeah, helped good. Me. I guess that so, didn't come out right.
So being a part of this amazing group of people, which was a total shock when I was first awarded, and I think it's been 13 years now, I got to meet my best friend, my business partner, my co-author, and yeah.
Oh, thanks.
For the record,
I'm really fortunate that, you know, I've
I love
made
you too.
Some great friendships in this group.
You want me to get out of the way?
But seriously, I talk to Echo every single day, and we talk for hours. And she's going to be gone for 6 weeks coming up here.
What are you going
to
do, Julie?
I'll have to call you guys.
Yeah, not Echo. We're not worried about you, Julie. What are you going to do?
Our Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, let's talk about how far did it take you. I'm out of the office for like 6 weeks straight, starting April 4. You have weeks like that, months like that.
But, yeah. I try not to. We're going to do all of June, but that's because we have a European project that we're going to. Lori's coming. I have a European project. Lori's coming in working remote.
Nice.
And then we have a little break in between, so we're going and visiting some museums and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another project. Lori has a project, so then I get to work remote. So
nice.
Yeah, we're taking most of a month away.
I have like back-to-back projects in Dallas, and then I go from there to Chicago. And I know, right? I know. And D.C. and this and that. And it's just like kind of all over the place for about 6 weeks straight. Bunch of back-to-backs. For me, I have been an MVP for 19 years. And I always tell people this is my tribe, and I tell you guys that. You celebrate my milestone birthdays, all of those things. I mean, seriously, these are some of my most enduring relationships. I've known most of you longer than I've known almost anybody else in my life. So that's kind of cool. I think also, though, the fact that we do have a direct line to the product team is kind of amazing, because I really like advocating for users and being able to file bugs and get things in front of them that they may not be realize are happening out in the field. Because even though they visit customers and stuff, they can't always see what's happening down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like boots on the ground. And I think that that's good both ways. So,
Steve, how many years have you been renewed as an MVP? Just as a conversation.
I don't do math that good. since 96, I believe it is. They didn't really have records prior to that. So it might have been 95. Wow. It goes way.
The stone tablets.
Stone tablets, yeah. And they dropped them and they broke. But it's a lot of it is having... Well, hearing about all the cool stuff that we're not going to tell you about because we're sworn to secrecy, which is one reason we've been very good about keeping the secrets, and they continue to tell us things like this. But also having access to the people who write the code that runs PowerPoint and to report bugs to them. And I had an opportunity to talk to one of those folks who takes care of a lot of that stuff when I report it. And we're kind of having this little love fest. She was saying how much she appreciates getting good reports. And I was saying... You have no idea how much we appreciate not feeling like our bug reports are just dropping down a well and never making a plop. And I swear she had tears in her eyes. Aww. It doesn't hear that kind of thing.
She probably doesn't yet.
Yeah, yeah, and she's great at it. And it's just a delight to be able to do that.
Okay, so this is not an NDA element. This is a newer feature of PowerPoint that people have been taking notice of, but only if they're in the right situation. So this is the new, I don't know what to call the feature, the one where you have way too many master slides and it pops up the little notification that says... Your says your presentation is probably way beyond the use.
Delete unused slide
masters. Is that what it is? So,
oh yeah, delete unused slide masters.
So I don't know if anybody listening has had this occur, but there are a couple of parameters. First of all, you have to open up a presentation with Office 365, and you have to have more than 25 master slides or more than 75 master layouts, I think is the baseline. I don't know where it is.
No, it is. Well, you were right on the first one. I don't know about the second one.
Yeah.
Right.
Is it more, potentially? I mean, it's like a crazy
high
number.
What it is, but anyways. I know you were right on the first one.
So has anybody here, like, encountered a file, and I'm going to assume you didn't design the file, it came to you.
Oh, my God.
You have, Echo, you've seen it?
Oh, I've seen it. Yes.
I've seen it. I feel like it's at, like, a Jeff loop.
You have to get in there.
Oh. I've seen it like a jackalope.
It's late.
I have, okay. Actually. And it was surprising because we didn't know it was available.
Yes.
And I ignored it because I did not want to delete something in error.
That's one of the features of it, that it does things without telling you what it's doing.
Well, but I think that just the I think that the threshold for determining if a master was the same was way, way, way too high. And I think that they're doing a lot of, they're using AI to look at it and determine if it is the same master. Because when people will insert slides and they'll say keep source formatting, well, if it's the same thing, you don't have to do that. That's, and so that's what they're looking at. They're looking and seeing if it is the same and stripping it out. I haven't run into anything where it's stripped out anything horrendous or that I wouldn't expect it to strip out yet. In fact, I wish it would go a little farther, but...
So how does it know
what
to...
Bring it up on demand would be cool.
That would be really, really great to bring it up on demand. But so far, so good. I see why it's scary. We don't have a lot of control and we don't know what's happening. And so that's scary, especially for us.
Well, let's talk about what. How do you then choose... Do you get to choose which masters to delete?
No.
No. So how does PowerPoint
usually what happens
choose that?
Well, okay, so let's
Well, it's going to start with unused masters.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Right, unused. Applied. Oh, that's right, unused. Okay.
But it's the master layouts that concern me because it'll also go there.
Yes.
So, I mean, I use a third-party tool. I use Tools 2. It has several tools for managing that.
Right.
And I have a little more control over it, so I'm more aware of it. Have you encountered this at all, Rick?
No, I haven't.
Wow.
If you have that many, and if you're dealing with a file with that many unused resources in it, you're that close to corruption or some
right.
problem.
Right, so you don't care what you lose.
Losing something is never going to be noticed.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's interesting. There's a new feature out there. I think it's trying to strive to fix a big problem, but it's just released into the wild without anybody really knowing about it, and suddenly... You know, the answers and other communication boards just lit up with, I got this weird thing. Mm-hmm. Do I have a virus? Is this really, is my computer going to blow up? Because.
We have too many masters.
What do I delete? Yeah.
Did you read the dialogue? Really?
It had a scary picture.
Okay, in closing, did anybody not introduce themselves? Just to make sure we covered everybody. Yes, 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 yes. Great. Okay, with that from the Hilton Hotel in downtown Bellevue, Washington.
No, we are not at the Hilton.
We are not at the Hyatt. We're at
and Sandy is pissed.
With that.
Exactly. Where are my points?
With that from the Hyatt Hotel in downtown Bellevue. Hyatt Regency Bellevue. Right across the highway from Redmond, the Microsoft headquarters, correct? Because the highway is the dividing line. I'm going to go with the highway is the dividing line. We're really close to Microsoft. We're spending every day there, and we're spending
every
all of our time at the hotels across the way. So thank you from Sandy, Nolan, myself, and thanks to everyone who has joined us for this amazingly interesting conversation.
Goodbye.
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 For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.